Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Mackenzie, and today you are listening to Social Work Now. Our first guest name is Rachel, and today we're talking about insurance denial and how that affects adolescents who are seeking psychiatric inpatient hospitalizations and mental illness treatments. Rachel, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to just briefly tell the listeners which got you started into social work and this topic?
Actually, I got started in social work because I come from a family of social workers, and growing up, I always planned to rebel against them and break out on my own and get into the world of business. And upon doing so, I realized that my passion really was in the field of social work and helping others. And it just so happened that during my first year in the Master's of Social Work program, I was placed in a school-based mental health program with children, which is what really drove and ignited my passion for working with the mental health population, specifically young adults and children.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, and I'm sure you're not alone in the fact that you first pursued something else and then found yourself at social work. I think that's great, and social workers are definitely needed in the field. So, you know, as you're aware, adolescent mental illness is something that's very prevalent, especially in today's society. And it's unfortunate that our generation has had to witness a number of these tragedies, like school shootings and suicides and things of the sort. Do you think that this had any effect on your choice to enter the social work field?
You know, I think it definitely has. I find that I have a big passion for helping others. Excuse me. And, you know, hearing all of these. Hold on 1 second.
No problem.
Excuse me, I had a tickle in my throat. So hearing all
no worries.
Of these tragedies that are occurring in schools and in our country and outside of it, really drives that passion within me to want to make a difference and try and help fix what's happening.
Definitely, and that's great. So how do you think, as social workers, what strategies that we could possibly implement to make a change in these insurance policies, excuse me, that sometimes, you know, put a roadblock in the way of parents seeking help for their children or adolescents seeking help for themselves? How do you think that we as social workers could try and make a change in that?
Well, that's absolutely a huge problem in the way our country is run. we typically like to put a Band-Aid on a problem once it occurs rather than address it before it becomes a great issue. And that's something that I've seen day in and day out in my work at the Ellis Hospital inpatient mental health unit that I work on. And I think that the first step to address it is to reduce the stigma that's attached to a mental health diagnosis, to allow both children and parents to stop suffering in silence and really, you know, understand what's going on and make it less of a scary thing so they understand that they're not alone in what's going on. And furthermore, to have insurance companies, you know, mental health professionals, psychiatrists, and so on, all truly understand the impact that an inpatient hospitalization can have on the long-term benefits for the child and their families. Typically, inpatient hospitalizations stem from either suicidal ideation, suicide attempts, or homicidal ideation. And if those issues are addressed immediately or very quickly, they can be resolved.
Absolutely. And now, you talked about, you know, these inpatient programs, and I was just wondering, now, do you think that these inpatient hospitalizations are always the best options for children and adolescents with mental illnesses? Obviously, it's for the more, you know, high-risk situations, like you mentioned, the suicidal or homicidal ideations. or attempts, but as potentially a parent or a caretaker who's in the position of having a child with a mental illness, do you think that there are any other options besides going to these extreme choices like inpatient hospitalization?
Absolutely. There's many other things that can be tried before considering inpatient hospitalization, and those are often very much encouraged by both inpatient and outpatient providers. So your typical attending regular therapy with a therapist is something that could be very beneficial. There's more intense outpatient programs that can be tried before inpatient hospitalization, as well as many other different medications and different other models, whether it's within a school or, outpatient providers. There's definitely different things that you can do before inpatient hospitalization. But it's important to remember that when an issue becomes critical and life-threatening, that's when inpatient hospitalization really needs to be considered very strongly. And that's when agreed upon by the admitting psychiatrist.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you cover a variety of great points. And unfortunately, that is all the time that we have today. So I'd just like to thank you for being a guest on the show today and for your wonderful insight on this serious issue that we unfortunately have to face every single day. We encourage our listeners who are themselves experiencing or have any friends or family members experiencing suicidal or homicidal ideations to please get help as soon as possible. There's lots of options out there that are available, hotlines and other things within the communities. So we strongly encourage you to access those resources that are so readily available for you. Rachel, thank you very much for being a guest on the show today, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Mackenzie.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.